Welcome to the Jesus Magnet Podcast. I'm your host, Joel, and today we have Georgina with us. How are you doing, Georgina?
I'm doing amazing, thanks, Joel.
I actually love that name, Georgina.
Oh, thank
you. It is just a beautiful name, really is.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited to hear what you've come to share with us today. You're an amazing Christian, and you've got a couple of stories that you weren't sure which one to share.
Yeah.
And they're all just impactful. So I think what we'll do is we'll just see how we go with time. You choose whichever story that you'd like to share. And then if we do have time, we'll go on to the next one. But no worries if not. I mean, we have so many amazing stories on this podcast. And it just glorifies God, glorifies Jesus, and shows just the amazing works that he does. I think there's too many to count.
Amen.
Yeah. He's always working, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's a way maker.
Yeah, come on. Miracle worker. That's a good song.
It's a good song.
So Georgina, I'm going to hand it over to you. And you can start at any point. Just let me know you don't have to let me know. I'll figure out which story. And I might jump in and out with some questions if that's okay.
Perfect, yes.
But the mic is yours.
Thank you. Just thank you, Joel and Laura, for the opportunity. And lovely to meet you both.
Thank you.
And the lovely introduction. So I'd like to start with a very personal story that glorifies the Lord and everything that we do in terms of even in unwellness, that he is always there at your side. And so this story I'd like to share is related to my sister-in-law when she was quite unwell and was in stage 4 of cancer. She had a very short illness, and during that time, the Lord actually was with her through that whole process. And how do I know that? Because she also loved Jesus. She was raised to know his love. She shared his love with her children. Her children were quite young at that time, and probably didn't fully understand that her last words that she shared with me really were, tell my children that Jesus loves them more than I do. And for myself at that time, I was like, how could someone, other than you being a mother, say that Jesus loves the children more? Because I too didn't understand what that statement meant until I actually met Jesus.
So were you not necessarily a believer at that point?
I was. But
you were.
But I had not heard that. I had not heard that come from a dying mum. Mm. I had heard that in statements passing, but not from someone that was right in on her deathbed.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes today in terms of what I'm going to share. Mm. I don't want to focus too much on the illness or what the events that took place leading up to the illness. What I'd like to share is the vision that the Lord gave me when I entered her room. And she was in her real final stages, which I was not aware of. And so when I entered the room, what I saw was God's glory on her. I saw peace on her face from what I'd seen an hour before that I saw someone that was in discomfort. When I entered moment, I saw four people sitting in the room. I acknowledged them. I said hello. They acknowledged back with a hand wave. And I'd never seen them before. And so I didn't take much notice of who they were. I thought they were hospice staff doing a changeover. I looked at my sister-in-law and her face was just so peaceful and beautiful. She didn't look like herself. When I say that, that she didn't look like herself, she just was so peaceful. I had not seen that before in someone that I'd seen an hour earlier that was uncomfortable with an illness. she wasn't talking at that time. She was just totally focused on lying there looking beautiful, really. And the Lord gave me a vision at that time. I didn't understand what I was seeing at that time. I'd never really encountered such raw, upfront visions ever. And so I wasn't understanding what I was seeing until I spoke to another Christian about it, and she put it into perspective. So what I'd seen was I saw four people that I didn't know that were in the room who acknowledged me, and I acknowledged them as well. I saw my sister-in-law, who was just totally in a comfort zone. It was a bit hard to explain, but there was just such peace and love and joy on her face. Mm. I also, in the vision, I saw my mother-in-law, who had passed some 18 months earlier. She entered the room. I remember thinking in my head, that's my mother-in-law, but she doesn't look 70 plus like when she passed. She looks like she's 40. She's got black hair. She's looks well.
You're seeing her in the hospital.
I'm seeing her.
Or in a vision.
In a vision.
But you're in the hospital at the time.
I'm in hospice at the time.
Right, yeah.
And then the Lord revealed to me that there was a building behind her, and I could see silhouettes, and I could see that they were people that had passed. And then the Lord gave me a picture of what the pearly gates looked like. And so I saw my mother-in-law standing by the pearly gates, waiting for her daughter. The pearly gates are exactly that. They were not like stark white. They were an off-white. They were glistening. And as my mum-in-law started to do a hand movement, like if you can imagine the queer at the front of the marae that does a hand movement and then starts to call people onto the marae, which is a welcome, that's what she was doing. She was doing a karanga to her daughter to enter, to wow. be beside them. It was touching, and I thank Jesus for allowing me that moment of showing me where my sister-in-law was going, where my mother-in-law was. And it was just a real special time. Sorry, I guess I get emotional because Jesus allowed me a vision, and I feel very privileged to be able to stand and share what he allowed me to see. And that it was confirmation, really, that there is a heaven, that people we love do enter heaven, that as he receives us in our final stages, that he's able to take all of that pain away. And that I saw that, and that he allowed me to see that. He allowed me to see that my sister-in-law was okay.
I love how we can really see that it's had a touching experience in your heart. And I've had the Lord speak to me a couple of times in my life. And what's happened is he attached his feelings to what he was saying to me. And it blew me away when I was reading, taste and see that I am good, and that your vision that you've seen, that's the seeing part that he's good, but then the taste part, what does that mean? Taste is something that you have to experience. You cannot describe it. You cannot pass it on or draw it or show it. It is something that you personally have to experience. And I love how you've had this heart experience, not just seeing the vision, but when you're sharing it with people, they can see that it's really sincerely moved you and that it's God's heart and his feelings attached to you going, this is what I'm showing you, and this is not only what I'm showing you, but this is how I'm feeling as well. The amount of love and the welcomeness to all the people passing over.
Yes, thank you for putting it like that, because that is exactly how it was for her. So if I reflect around an hour earlier, how there was a lot of discomfort with her as a patient then, and then entering the room and seeing her go beyond the veil, and that it was okay, that there was no more pain, there was no more discomfort, that she was absolutely being greeted in heaven, and that he was there. You know, he was there to greet her, that he was one of those silhouettes in the room standing behind her, behind my mother-in-law, and that he gave my mother-in-law the grace to go forward to receive her. Mm. And I think I freaked out. You know, I'm going to be really truthful. I freaked out. I actually thought that I might have contributed to her passing over, because she was okay when I walked in the room. She wasn't. And then I'm in the room and she's not okay anymore. But had I done something, or had I not done something to keep her on the side with us? And so I started to beat myself up too, you know, in that split second that things were happening. And I started to doubt myself, and then I had to actually stop and say, well, no, Jesus has allowed you into a space where he's just reassured you that she's okay, and to remove those thoughts. She's with Jesus. But I did share that experience with my other sister-in-law later. I said, this is what I'd seen. And, you know, I'm scared. So I was scared of what I'd seen, because I didn't have a deeper understanding of what a vision is like.
So was that your first vision that you've had?
Yes.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Absolutely. And to think that when I walked in the room, there was four people there. And then when I looked again after she'd passed, there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And so I didn't understand that time. I'm like, where has everybody gone? I'm here by myself. Oh, my gosh, I'm here by myself. But in reality, I wasn't. You know, they were probably the angels that Jesus sent to help her pass over and take her into glory.
Yeah.
And to show her too that it was okay. And then when I sat and spoke with my other sister-in-law, who is a beautiful Christian, had been a Christian since she was 15, was led to the Lord by our local pastor at that time, was such a beautiful, beautiful man, and he's passed on now. And she was in her 50s, so she was well and truly walking with the Lord. And when I shared that with her, she's Georgina, that's so beautiful. And I'm like, what's that? She's going, yes. I'm like, why? She goes, the Lord's just gifted you with a vision. You are going to stand up at the funeral and share that gifting, share that vision, and let her children know that mum's okay.
Yeah.
And so I did. I got brave. But, you know, I was like, you're right. I was privileged. I am. There was a reason why I was in the room by myself, why my other two sister-in-laws didn't follow me in the room. Like we'd all said we were going to. We all agreed that we were going to the room at that time, but at that moment in time, only I ended up in the room. Maybe it was meant to be that the Lord wanted to reveal, you know, a vision to me so that I could use that as a testimony of where my sister-in-law has been.
Yeah.
And to the family as well, to bring them to the Lord, you know, to bring her children to the Lord, to bring her brothers to the Lord, to bring her father to the Lord.
Amen.
And to bring the nieces and nephews to the Lord, because I don't know why it was the only person in the room. That's the only logical explanation I can think of today, is that the Lord allowed that vision to happen so that I can stand and be brave and bring others to the Lord and start with the family.
And you're able to see her healed and well as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's one of those interesting things. I've said this a couple of times on different podcasts, and it's sometimes God, when we're praying for healing over someone and they're not healed, you know, God does one of two things. I mean, they're not healed from our perspective sometimes, but he does one of two things. He takes the sickness from the person,
yeah,
which is amazing. And other times he might take the person from the sickness. But in both instances, they're healed and they're well. And it's which perspective are we looking at it from? Are we looking at it from man's view or God's view? So you were so privileged and so lucky to be able to see it from God's point of view.
Yes.
Going, look, she might not look healed now, but let me show you what I see. And I see her well, I see her walking through the pearly white gates, and I'm welcoming her into heaven, you know, somewhere that's way more alive and real and well than earth. So if anything, she's more healed than she would ever be, even if I did heal her on earth.
Yeah. I understand that now. You know, I didn't before, but I totally understand it. I totally get it now. I get you, Jesus. I get what you showed me. I get that now, and I do share it with their children. I remind them. Do you remember when Auntie stood up at Mum's tangi and shared, you know, at what Jesus allowed me to see where your mum's going? At that time, they were distraught, so that they weren't listening. Now they're listening.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, what a powerful way to witness to them, because you said that they're quite young.
Yes.
And they're going to be able to, you know, be able to talk to you about that even when they're older and they're struggling. You know, why is my mum not here? But you've got this answer, which is almost in stone. You know, this is what happened. And it's you know, Jesus is the way.
Absolutely.
And she is alive.
She is alive. She is alive and well. And I get what she said now. I get why she said, tell my children that Jesus loves them more than mummy. Why? Because he has everlasting love for everybody.
Yep.
He is always there. You just have to pray and he's there. And so that's what she meant. In your times of despair, when I'm physically not here, Jesus is.
Amen.
I get that now. It's taken me, I don't know how long. I get it.
That is so cool. I love that. You know, I think that story holds so much power, and people listening to that are going to have so much hope with their loved ones in hospital, maybe passing on or struggling to wonder, you know, why did they pass on? Why didn't God heal them or whatever it is? But it's stories like this that go, here's the reality of what happened. Because everybody passes on eventually.
Yes.
You might be 82 or you might be 2 years old, but at some point God takes us, and we're never ready for it. But God always is. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that's taking us to the next life. For us, it's really just a change of locations, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
A change of location.
Yeah. I think I'd really love if you've got time to share the other story that you were keen to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one relates to illness in hospital again, but it's a deliverance one. So this is pertaining to an uncle that I went to visit. And do I normally visit people in hospital? No, but the Lord leads me there. So at this particular time, I was led by the Lord to go and visit my uncle. And my uncle at that time was very unwell in hospital. And this is a man that did not know Jesus. He didn't know the love of Jesus. He didn't follow Christ or Christianity. In actual fact, he was the total opposite of everything that we know about Jesus. Yeah. And so I...
So this is a situation where you're back in hospital.
Yes.
And the first story was your sister-in-law who was an on-fire Christian.
Yes.
This is the second person who is your uncle.
Yes.
Who has never walked with God.
No.
And he's also dying.
Yes.
Okay. So that's actually very important, I think, to have both stories in one podcast. All right, sorry, carry on.
No, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for defining that too, because that's interesting for the listeners to, yeah. to
understand. You got this situation, but yeah. what about if it was the other way around?
So it was. Yeah. It's the total opposite, you know. Mm. And so I, you know, Jesus led me in to sit with my uncle now and just to listen to his story, really, just to be with him, just to support him. So the day before, he was semi-unconscious, and that was the news that we'd received, that he would probably not pull through, that he was very unwell. And so that's really what tugged on my heartstrings, was to go and see him. And then that morning that I went to see him, we got quite the opposite. Oh, he's a little bit better. It's out of that real high priority zone, but he's still unwell. And so there was like a 24-hour vigil with his children watching over him at that time, and his wife. And so when you get a visitor, and then, you know, you kind of take that opportunity to step out of the hospital room and take a break yourself from that 24-hour vigil kind of thing. And so,
could we just describe your uncle a little bit? You sort of said before the podcast started, you know, being a worldly man, probably not the best language.
Yeah, that's right. He had harsh language. He didn't believe in Jesus. He was a truck driver. He was a hard worker. He did a lot of drinking, you know, after hours, and he was a social, very much a social person. He was also a very, at times could be very unkind to people, but people kind of laughed it off because of his character and his nature.
Mm.
And so he was of that character.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting in the room with him, and you know, Jesus is really tugging at my heartstrings this day too. I'm like, sit and just kind of humble myself and just allow Uncle to talk. And he shared this. I was very privileged, I believe, to for him to share this with me at this time, because he didn't share this with his children. And he said to me, "See the vent up there in the hospital ceiling?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, yesterday I was unconscious." And he said, "And I went on this journey through that vent, and I was still in my hospital bed, and I was placed in he said, I was placed in this part. I was placed, what he said was, I was placed in what I think is hell." And I said to him, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because I was still in hospital, but the walls were glass, so I could see through them. And what I saw was," he said, "I was protected, but what I saw was, I saw soldiers, I saw guns, I saw fire, I saw screaming people, I saw smoke, I saw dust, I saw hell."
Wow. Yeah. So he was in like almost like a protective fishbowl.
Yeah.
And he'd gone down into hell.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, so he
just, what'd you say to that?
I listened, and I said to him, "How do you know it was there?" And he said, "Because there was chaos. There was no joy anywhere. It was chaos. There were people running, screaming. It was like a war zone." And I said to him, and he said, "That's where I'm going." And I believe Jesus took me there to save him, because...
Amen.
I said, "Uncle, you've had a snapshot of what could be, but that doesn't have to be. I believe that I can sit here and pray with you if you allow me to, and do a prayer of deliverance, and we can move you out of that situation of what you were shown, and put you in a place of peace and joy in heaven. You might not be going there at that time, but we can do a deliverance prayer that will take you away from that image of what you believe you'd seen. And he received. We did a deliverance prayer.
Amazing.
With him, and he received that. And
how long after that did he pass over?
Oh, so 8 years after.
Oh yeah, so he survived.
He survived. And the Lord gave him an extension.
Wow,
an extension of life. And that might be to make inner peace with himself, to make inner peace with those around him. Because he, whether he realized it or not, his life actually changed a lot.
Yeah.
He was no longer able to drink, to that magnitude of that he was used to drinking. And I believe there's various reasons for that. Some of us get restored health-wise to our former glory as what we were as children, as babies. And I believe that the liquor had, the leading him to the deliverance took away the urge to drink that alcohol. Away the urge to be in that environment. Gave him peace in himself where he was able to be a lot more unified with his children. And be a nicer husband as well. And so, he may not have recognized that as that, but I know it was Jesus doing the work on his heart.
Come on.
It's taking out the pieces that he didn't need, that were unhelpful to him, that were unhelpful to his healing, that were hindering him in wellness, and allowing to replace that just with the love of Jesus. And I have joy in my heart because I know that there was a purpose why God took me there. There was a reason why his children allowed me that time in the room with just the two of us. There was a reason why he was able to share that in confidence. And this is a man that would not speak, about receiving Jesus, but he did. And some 8 years later, he's in heaven. He's not in that place that
that's so cool.
That that he saw in his mind, that he saw in his unwellness.
It's amazing. I've got a similar, really quick story, which is, I just love hearing stories like this. But a few years ago, my grandfather, he had a, I think it was a heart attack or something going on with him, and he should have died.
Yeah.
But so he went into hospital, and I went in with him, and I prayed with him, and I said, "Hey, I know you're not a believer, but I believe Jesus is real. He's the King of Kings, and he loves you so much. And I just, want to open the door. If you'd like me to pray with you, then I'm here. And would you like that?" And he looked at me and he said, "Joel, I don't believe in God, and I do not want prayer, but thank you. I appreciate the offer." So he kindly refused it. And the Lord kept him alive for about 2 years. And then we get a phone call, and it's my mum, and she said, "Granddad's got lung cancer. He's got a few, I think it was a week or something like that."
Wow.
And then my dad stayed the night with him, the night he died. And then he told me about it in the morning when went to go see him, and he said, "Granddad actually asked me, I don't have a spot in heaven, and can you pray with me because I want to know Jesus?"
Wow.
So it was like God extended him for 2 years to almost let him think about that conversation that we might have had. And then when his next opportunity came, he sort of grabbed it and went, "I am going to get prayer this time. I'm not going to let my pride stop me. I'm going to do that.
Amen.
And it was amazing because we saw him before he died, probably 2 days before he died, terrified, struggling, you know, horrible, really. And then the day before he died, when we went to go see him and my dad had prayed with him, peaceful. Oh, my dad said anyway, my dad said he was with him and he was peaceful and he was excited. Come and he was ready to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, the point to that is, like, it's never too late. So always give somebody the opportunity to meet Jesus, no matter how rugged they were.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, like your uncle or my granddad, he was a farmer, you know, he just didn't want a bar of Christianity.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like his spirit was calling out, going, you know, just give me a little bit more time. I do want you, Lord. And, yeah, I just think that's so cool.
Isn't he so gracious, eh?
Yeah. Georgiana, do you have any advice for somebody that might be going through a similar situation right now? You know, you might have a loved one in hospital and things like that. How did you, I guess, make sure that Jesus is at the focus and not lose faith in times like that where it seems like, you know, God, where are you? And times like this was when you should be showing up, you know, and there's no, sometimes you don't see the healing. What's some advice for somebody who might be thinking those thoughts?
Look, I know for most, well, you know, I just know that Jesus is, whether they survive or not, I know at times we tend to blame. Where were you, Lord, when I was praying for my loved one to be healed? You didn't hear the prayer. Well, actually, he did. He heard that prayer. He's received them. You know, he's received them. He's taken them into a much glorified space where they are totally healed. So at times when we feel that he hasn't heard us, he has absolutely heard us. He's just taken them to another realm where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more pain, where their body has received a total healing and a total restoration. And you know, and I saw that. I've seen that with my sister-in-law. I saw the peace on her. Her work was done.
Mm.
You know, don't lose faith. Don't blame Jesus for it, because wherever that person is, if they love Jesus, they're with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, well, you're amazing, Georgiana. Oh,
thank you.
And I love how God's put you in these situations. And you've not only gone through these situations, you've observed it, you've processed it, and you've gone, all right, God, I understand why I was there.
Yeah.
And then now you're making it shared throughout the whole world, you know, and going, you know, if you've gone into a similar situation as me, this is still God. God Absolutely. Is still good.
Absolutely. God is still good, no matter what the outcome is. You know, it's never lose faith. Don't blame him for anything.
Mm.
Just keep praying. Show your love on Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah. He will lift all your burdens.
That's so cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. You're amazing.
Thank you. You and, are too.
And I know that this is going to go out to so many people and they're going to really enjoy this episode. I have thoroughly enjoyed being here and learning from you. So, thank you so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Jesus Magnet Podcast. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you connect with us. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram. And if you want to support us, be a member of our coffee club, Jesus Magnet Coffee Club. See you next time on the Jesus Magnet.